Welcome to Your Day Off, the podcast that shares, loves, and inspires the hair industry.
Wow, what a great interview with Jackie Davis.
For those that don't know Jackie Davis, Miss Jackie Davis, she is a hairdresser on Project Runway and other shows. She's a salon owner, and she also works in television. She just had some really, really fun and great stories about working on Project Runway and just about being a hairdresser. And, you know, like we do with most of our podcasts, we got a little bit into her origin story, where she came from and how she came up. So, I mean, the best person to tell you is Jackie, right?
Yep.
Okay, so without any further ado, Jackie Davis. So I want to thank Jackie Davis for joining us on your day off. Jack, thank you very, very much for coming on, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course. Of course. Well, first, I want to say congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
I think it's awesome that you guys are doing this, and I'm super excited for you and Tony. And I was just wondering what got you guys here? How did you guys think about doing this, starting the podcast?
Great question. A couple of months ago, actually, maybe a little longer, Corey came up to me and he said, hey, Tony, I want to do a podcast. I want to do a podcast about our industry. And all of a sudden, he hasn't stopped thinking about it since.
No, not at all.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. I texted him at 3 in the morning. I literally texted him at 3 this morning.
Yeah.
About the podcast.
What are you doing up at 3 o'clock in the morning, though? He is obsessed.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, my God. Why does this not surprise me?
Yeah, you know. Welcome to my brain.
Right.
Be glad you're not married to me.
Yeah. Totally.
So, first off, I don't know if you know this, Jack, but, you know, Tony and I grew up together.
So yeah, I do know that.
We actually went to high school together. We went to hair school together. And, you know, we worked together as well.
Yeah.
Together we make one hairdresser.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm a colorist and Tony's a hair cutter. So, you know, together we make one whole hairdresser. And one whole podcast, too.
Right.
Wow.
So, you know, I just think...
How does that work out in your marriages?
Luckily, they're married now, too. Our wives.
Yeah, they get along, thank God.
Yeah, exactly. So do the kids, so that works out well for us as well. We're just never apart anymore.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think with that gratitude, I honestly think that the industry has pretty much saved our lives. I mean, not to be overdramatic or anything, but we had no vision or no place that we were going. We just found hair, and hair found us, you know, and it's totally changed our lives. I think we've talked before, you know, it's so great when you watch this industry. Well, to slow down, it's so great when you watch young people come up in this industry and then buy their first car. It's so great in this industry to watch people come up and after the first car, then they get to buy their house. I mean, that's because of hair, right? That's because of this industry, this great industry. And it happens from working behind the chair. When we were talking about the podcast, we were like, well, what's it going to mean? And we just wanted to kind of bring people together that have either inspired us or that have helped us along the way. And, you know, some that still inspire and help us. I don't know if that makes sense. That was kind of weird.
Yeah, it totally does. Yeah, and that's amazing.
Yeah, so we came up with the name Your Day Off to represent what it used to be, the traditional day off of the hairdresser, that Monday. So we decided to name the podcast Your Day Off and launch it on Monday.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's the day that we get information. It's the day that we share information. So we just thought it was a pretty cool name to move forward with.
I love it. I love this. It's such a great idea and concept, and I think it's much needed in our industry. Do you guys like how I did that? I just pirated your podcast.
Right.
You guys thought you were interviewing me, but look what happened.
I know. Look at that. Now we're on the couch.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. On that note.
So, Jack, tell us a little bit about where, like, you know, how you got into the industry, where you're from, and all that grooviness.
Well, where I'm from, I was made in Mexico, and I was born in the United States, California.
Made in Mexico.
Actually. Yeah, made in Mexico.
Holy cow.
Yeah, So, you know, I've always teetered between two countries. So, yeah, that's where I'm from. And what got you interested
in doing hair? How'd you know that this was your path?
Well, you know, I didn't know early on, though. I always loved hair. My whole life when I was a young child was all about dance and theater. That was like my focus. That's what I wanted to do. Uh-huh. But I loved all things beauty. And one of my favorite things to do in the morning was to watch my mom get ready. And that was in days when, you know, women were like teasing their hair and doing all this stuff. And I just loved it.
That was the once a week hairstyle?
That was, well, my mom had six kids. Yeah. So it was once, I don't know how she found time to always look glamorous. And she touched it up every morning. But yeah, it was probably once a week that she put the base in.
Went to the beauty salon?
No. Oh no. Oh no. We did not. We did not. We had, like I said, I was one of six kids.
Yeah.
And my dad was working and my mom was a stay at home. And we did not have, you know, money for anything extra, certainly not for the hair salon. So my mom was like a do and go. She did it all herself.
Wow. What, six kids, yeah, too? That's
yeah, and she always
super
looked
mom.
Great. Yeah, totally. She really was. And it was funny because my mom would be, you know, working all day, cleaning, cooking, you know, dealing with the kids. And then at about, you know, 5 o'clock, we all had to take baths and get dressed and comb our hair. And my mom would get dressed so that when my dad came, you know, we all look like nothing had ever happened. We looked perfect.
She hacked the system.
Yeah. No, but it worked against her because then my dad thought that, you know, she had it totally easy.
So would she do, I guess, you guys as well? Like, she would do her hair, made herself up, and then spend time and do you guys up?
Well, you know, when you come from a big family, you start working really young, right? So everybody had to, we had to give ourselves baths and help with the little ones and do all that. But yeah, then she'd make sure that we were all combed and we were usually like in our pajamas maybe or something like that. Mm-hmm. But we were clean and combed and we had to sit on the couch until my dad walked in the door because she was afraid we'd mess ourselves up. isn't that crazy?
Like Sunday morning at church.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Hey, Jack, where do you fall in the six?
I'm second of six, but the first four of us are 11 months and a year apart. So I have a sister who's 11 months older than me, and the first four of us are, so, and I have a brother who's a year younger than me and another brother who's a year younger than him. So by the time I was 2 years old, there were four of us. I have no earlier recollections. Like, I don't have any recollection of my brothers not being there.
So that's where the real superwoman came from. The story came from your mom.
What was that? Four toddlers, right?
Oh, yeah. Four teens, you know. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think about the teen years.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So did you get interested in doing hair by doing your siblings' hair? Is that how?
I always loved hair and beauty, and I was good at it. Well, at least I thought so when I was younger.
Right.
The way I got interested in hair as a career, though, was I was dancing, and sometimes we would do these big shows, and some of the girls, you know, we had like makeup artists, and we had you know, somebody hair, but if the girls had taken a theatrical makeup class and they were approved by the lead makeup artist, sometimes they were allowed to do their own makeup. And so rather than waiting for somebody to do my makeup, I thought, hey, that'd be cool. Some of my friends did it. And so I enrolled into a theatrical makeup class and I really, really liked it. And I loved my teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she had me start doing some gigs with her. And she was the first one to suggest that I enroll in hair school just so that I could be more well-rounded. At the time in California, my thought was to get into film, you know, doing movies.
Sure.
And so she thought that, you know, the more I had under the belt, my belt, if I was working with a smaller production company and I was versatile in both hair and makeup, that that would help me. So I enrolled in hair school and I fell in love with hair, and aww. I realized that there was, I know, right? And I realized that there was a whole other world out there hair. Yeah, hair shows and just so many different facets. And that's when I first became interested in that career path.
So, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but when you first got on the floor, like, what was success like? What did success look like for you?
When I first got on the floor, I went in, and I remember from the very beginning when I enrolled in beauty school, my whole thing was doing the hair shows, and I wanted to get kind of on in that path. What I discovered,
never saw a spotlight you didn't like, huh?
That's right. That's right. So I guess success to me early on was A, not cutting my fingers or my client's ears off, probably, but not turning my client's hair green, although now it probably would be okay.
Yeah, now it's okay. But
on a broader sort of spectrum, it was to be able to go out and do these, you know, these shows and, you know, film, theater, that kind of thing.
So that was your path. So you didn't think your path was going to be behind the chair necessarily, but, you know, into bigger things?
Except for I discovered that my chair in the salon was like the small stage. And when you have a client sitting in your chair, it's a show, you know?
Yeah.
And so you could say that. Yeah, so you're putting on a show, and you're kind of the director, the producer, the writer, you know.
Yeah.
It's a bit of an improv act there, but so then I just got really greedy and I wanted to do it all.
So success early, you know, even though it was not cutting your fingers and cutting someone's ear, and you wanted to do the shows. So how has it evolved, or has it evolved?
Everything evolves. But you know, it's one of those things that sometimes you find yourself coming full circle. And at different points in my life, because I had my kids really young, there were things that I could do, you know, early on that I, and things that I couldn't do that were harder for me to do having a family.
Like what would that be?
Well, you know, some of the shows, like some of the TV stuff that I do now, not on a local level, but on the national level, it takes a lot of time. And so, yeah, having young kids, you sometimes have to make choices. And because I was doing the salon thing and also the TV thing, you know, I believe that you can do everything. Sometimes it's not, you just can't do everything all the time. Timing is really important.
Right.
So I did what I, you know, I focused more at that point, on the hair shows, because it was something that I could kind of look out ahead of time,
right?
And I could really plan for.
So, what are some of your favorite hair shows that you've done?
Oh my god! Well, I always love the London Alternative Hair Show. It's probably one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, that one's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's all about the show. Nobody is selling anything, you know. It's very theatrical, so that really appeals to me.
Right.
And so it's kind of the finished product. And I think that I would say that that's probably, for me, my favorite of all the hair shows that I've done. But I also love to get up and teach and be on stage.
Right.
Which I've seen, and you're an amazing teacher, presenter. That's one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on here is because you do inspire a lot of people. But, you know, a question that we have is, what inspires you?
It depends on any given moment. I am inspired by art. I grew up with artists. My sister is an artist. There's a lot of artists in my family. Just in my Latin American culture, I'm Mexican, Cuban, color. I'm inspired by movies. And I have an affinity for past decades and fashion, hair, beauty, fashion of the past decades.
So like when you're watching a movie or something, what is it, hair that you see that's inspiring, or is there something else in the movie that that inspires you?
Hair is definitely a part of it, but I'm very visual, as all hairstylists are. And I think costuming, the scenery, I've sat through movies that other people have said, oh God, that was not good or whatever. But I honestly I loved the movie because of just the visual impact it had on me.
Right.
I think that's what separates a lot of people, is you're able to see the creativity beyond just the story, which probably a lot of people just see.
Yeah. Right. There's a story in that, you know, in exactly. just that.
Sure.
So, and then as hairdressers, we know how much work it takes to get there. And
oh my gosh.
Just the sheer imagination and creativity that somebody came up with all these styles. I mean, it's one of the things that I love most about our industry.
Yeah, it's pretty great, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how do you stay fresh in this industry?
I feel that I've worked with a hairdresser many years ago that thought he knew it all. And he was a good hairdresser, but it's if you think you know it all, or when you think you know it all, I think it's time to hang up your shears. You know, it's always about learning and growing. I like to, once or twice a year, if I can twice a year, I love to enroll in some class. And it can be anything. It doesn't even have to be hair related, but it has to be something creative.
Right.
And just go away and absorb and be a student and try to be, you know, I don't like to talk about anything that I do in class or anything. I just want to be there and absorb. I think it's really important to do stuff like that. I also love being around people starting out in the industry when we get new apprentices,
right.
because they haven't built these walls and boxes around them. They don't know what can and can't be done. And to me, they're really inspiring. And they might not be able to, you know, sometimes they do, but they might not be able to show me a technique per se, but they may take my mind, open my mind to something that I hadn't thought of before, or just re-inspire me, something that I haven't thought of in a long time. And just seeing it through these young, fresh eyes is keeps people relevant.
That's pretty great. You know, I was having a conversation with a couple other hairdressers. We had a conversation about when you get that one instructor, that one person that believes in you, how can in the moment literally change the rest of your career?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I
think as older hairdressers too, we almost have that responsibility not to shut someone down. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know anything about being an older hairdresser, but
I was talking about Tony and I.
Oh, okay.
Not young Jackie Davis.
Yeah, absolutely. I also, I really think that we need to pay attention to everybody that's in the industry. Some people that you think are sometimes very stagnant and doing the same thing over and over. Sometimes what they're doing is because they've been honing that one skill,
over
all these years. And, you know, when you're out doing fashion, TV and, you know, shoots, that kind of stuff, you never know what's going to come up. You never know, you know, either whether it's a collaboration, a creative collaboration, or a client wants something.
Right.
You just never know what they're going to want. And sometimes you know, when you talk to the younger stylists and they're like, oh, that's old school or that's whatever. And if you don't know those things, if you don't learn your craft, you never know when somebody's going to want that specific thing or that's going to come around.
It's almost like being behind the chair. You know, it's when you have a book, you know, from one client to the next, you know, you might run into something during a particular client. You got to learn how to respond to that so you can actually, you know, try to stay someone on time for the rest of your day or the rest of your client. So you got to be prepared for unexpected, you know, mishaps or just things that pop up into a everyday basis behind the chair as well.
That just got real.
Right.
That's really
right.
Real.
One of the very first salons that I ever worked at was a French salon in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. And the owners were French and they literally bought the salon. They didn't speak English. It was a couple. He spoke a little bit of English, mm-hmm. but he was the esthetician and she was the hairstylist. And so there was a lot of miming going on in the salon at the time, but, they did balayage back right. then.
Did you learn balayage from them?
I did, not the way that we do it now, it's evolved, mm-hmm. but yes, we did learn that technique. And I remember, cause I was I was a young hairdresser and I thought that it was really cool that they did it, but she didn't work with foils. And, back then foils was everything. And I was like, wow, she's this hotshot hairstylist from France and she can't do foils,
Oh, she couldn't do foils. So it's not that she didn't use them. She just didn't use them.
She didn't do them. But, when you're younger, you're like, wow, you think that the cool thing is whatever is happening right now. And, she could also do an entire updo and only use 1 to 3 bobby pins. So there was that too.
Wow.
She was amazing. Yeah.
So you've talked about a couple people from your past. Do you have one person or a couple people who have been big influences on you?
I mean, I honestly can't narrow it down to one or two people. There are so many people that have influenced me, and it depends also on what sort of facet of hairdressing we're talking about. If we're talking about color or the art of hairdressing, if we're talking about cutting, mentoring, it's just so many people. Of course, there's Odile Gilbert. I just love her.
Uh-huh.
Hester Werner. I mean, her stuff is just out of this world. Her wig making and just her mind. I love Howard McLaren and Michael Gordon. They were such visionaries. And then, there's just so many people I can possibly name everybody. Antoine, mm-hmm. if you're taking it way back, when you think about these hairdressers that didn't have the tools that we have now.
Right.
And they created magic and these, it's amazing. I've tried to learn, and I'm still, learning about different ways that hair was manipulated, back when people didn't have a lot of the things that we have now.
Such as internet.
Exactly. Yeah, right? There's actually
a guy that I follow on Instagram. I'm going to mess his whole name up, but I think it's Mustafa. He's this
Mustafa.
Turkish.
Oh,
yeah.
My
gosh.
Yeah.
He's
amazing.
He's got the best hands I've ever seen. The way that he manipulates hair and the way that he just kind of like spread. Oh, it's just art, man.
He makes it seamless. And see, that's the thing. It's like with the internet also, there's so many people that are constantly inspiring. I think that's a difficult question to answer because there's too many people.
That's completely fair.
And that's, yeah. So, and I mean, one person that I would want to say has inspired me maybe to become a better hairdresser is Reg Laws.
Absolutely.
Just pushing and his mentoring,
Yeah, he's one of our guys on our hit list to get him on here.
Yeah.
We'd love to talk to
him.
And
also Lin Nguyen, there's so many people. I can just go on and on, but
we could do a whole podcast about inspiration
too. Lynn is a outstanding just hairdresser all around.
Yeah.
What's his Instagram? Is it Lynn Hair?
Lynn Hair.
Yeah.
L-I-H-N, right? L-I-H-N Hair.
L-I-N-H-H-A-I-R.
That's it. Sorry, yeah. Lynn, if you're listening.
Right. He got Mustafa right, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy does amazing stuff.
Yeah.
So, awesome.
And he's using a lot of the old school techniques. You know, it's funny because a lot of younger hairstylists or aspiring hairstylists watch him now. And a lot of the things that he's known for are, you know, his beautiful waves and all that. That's all old school hairdressing that a few years ago, you know, some of the younger people would have been like, when is that ever going to be relevant? And here you have it.
And here you have it. I mean, I remember being in hair school going like, when am I ever going to do finger waves? For the record, I never have. But, you know, it's nice to see that they're coming back.
I love finger waves. I love them. I love doing them in hair school. I thought they were so fun.
That's awesome. Mm. Now we can get a lot of those looks with like flat irons and different hot utensils as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can find a lot of inspiration. You know, you're talking about, you know, styling finger waves or Mustafa, you know, how he just moves hair and just make hair does that, you know. And Jackie, you talked about, you know, a lot of people are inspiring on you know, social media or the internet. There's so many places, right, that, you know, you can totally pull information from.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, I definitely feel like there's more. I hate to keep using the word inspiration, but there's certainly a lot more to watch now. It's not just we're not getting our information only from the product companies and having them control the narrative. Now the narrative is so wide open with so many different angles. It's so nice to see that hair is literally being done again, right? Like hair is pretty again, where for so long it was just about. Go ahead.
That's right. I mean, I remember, you know, just mentoring newer stylists and some stylists saying, you know, I'm not really that interested in learning how to do updos or, you know, braids and stuff like that. That's not my thing. And I want to concentrate on cuts and stuff for a long time.
That was me. Are you talking about me here?
Yeah,
I didn't want to call you out. No, I mean,
we're completely guilty, man. Right. But looking into the future not to walk over you, Jackie, but you got me fired up now.
No.
Right? So,
yeah.
I mean, like if you look into like the next 5 or 10 years and where our industry is going, you better be able to do two things as far as I see. And that's you better be able to finish hair. Not better. I'm not all that aggressive. But, you know, where the future is you need to finish hair and you need to be able to take good photographs, you know, because.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that because is so true.
Instagram is literally a hairdresser's digital business card.
Yeah, it's portfolio.
I mean,
totally.
Yeah, we're in a time now where each hairstylist is their own brand.
Oh,
and
very well
you know,
said.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think you're absolutely right. The photos is the second part of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, it just goes to show that you should never close your mind. I mean, we all have our preferences, the things that we like to do and where we want to spend our time. But I think it's really important that in our industry and in our craft that we have a general knowledge of everything so that when it does come up, you know,
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Can pick it up and you kind of know a little bit about it.
So someone who's trying to break into the industry, what kind of advice do you give them? Because there's so much, you know, with not only the Instagram, social media, someone like yourself, you know, who's a salon owner, who has a television life, a family life. There's so much that's involved in your life. How do you tell someone that wants to do this, you know, as far as balance and how to get there?
Well, so are you talking about salon or the more of the
just life balance?
TV?
Yeah,
life balance. Okay. I think that for me, I'm a little bit crazy. I've always been hyper, and my idea of relaxing is to change my activity. And I think that it's really important that you can do all these things. You have to be in the moment with whatever it is that you're doing at the time. My life is a little crazy, and I can give you an example. When I am filming, you know, in the summer, normally we film for the Project Runway franchise. My typical week would be I work in a salon. Mm-hmm. You know, I work at my salon. I go home. I take a shower. I might, you know, sleep for an hour or two. I'm terrified of oversleeping, so usually that doesn't work. And then I, you know, I go down to the train station, and I'm on the 3:15 a.m. because call time's so early. I get to the studio. We film.
Well, hold on, Jack, before you move forward, just for the people that are listening, so your salon is in D.C., but you guys film in Manhattan, yeah?
Yeah, well, we film it, yes. We film right now, it's in, and it's changed over the years, but most recently we're in Long Island City, where we've been filming.
So that's a longer train ride, yeah?
No, we go into Manhattan, and it's it's in New York. It's just not, go into Penn Station, sorry.
Oh, right.
And I lost my train. I'm sorry.
I took you off your train. Okay. So you were saying, like, once you got to New York, because call time was so early.
Yeah, so I work all day at the studio, and then I jump back on the train, and because of the way the show is, where they are given challenges, there's a 24-hour period in between where I'm not needed because I'm really used for, you know, doing the models, the girls going down the runway, mm-hmm. and some of the, you know, the guests coming in, the guest judges.
So you do the guest judges' hair as well?
Sometimes.
Some of them?
Just depends. Yeah, some of them. Just depends, you know, what's needed. And then I catch a train and come back home and I work the next day in the salon normally.
Oh my God, so you're crazy, lady.
That's pretty, I know. So this happens from, you know, mostly like this from June through August.
So you're saying life balance is not to sleep.
Yeah! Or sleep on the train. Right. And I know it's insane. And I know it's insane, and people look at me like I have three heads. It's just crazy, but it's, you know, I love it. It is my passion. It's so much fun, and I think that also, you know, I understand that I'm in a unique place, and I really want to take advantage of it.
That's so great.
Yeah.
I think let's back up a little bit. Like, how did you? Okay. How did you get to Project Runway?
Well,
what did that look like? I mean, you're working into the salon and then boom, you're on television.
Yeah. Well, I had done TV prior to that. I'd done more on, you know, some local stuff and a lot of makeover stuff. I was the makeover artist for a Latin show on Univision, DC Latino. And I also done the Ambush makeovers, NBC. Military makeover, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And, but to your question about Project Runway, I was literally on vacation. I do have those every once in a while, believe it or not. But I was on vacation.
Sleepcation?
No, I don't sleep. I just... but my amazing friend, Lin Nguyen, that we all know very well, aww, called me up, and he had just gotten the gig as a key hairstylist for a spinoff of Project Runway All Stars.
Uh-huh.
And he was putting together a team. So he called me up and he's like, hey, I'm putting together a team. I need a strong team. I want to know if, you know, you would be interested in doing this with me. And wow. I said, of course. And so that's how it really started. And once I joined the team there, I met other people who, and you know, then I started working with Project Runway and then later on Juniors, and there's been all kinds of spinoffs. We had one season of Accessories, and so that's how that that whole situation.
So how many people, take us backstage a little bit, how many people are on a hairdressing team?
For this particular show?
For Project Runway, yeah. So, like, okay. You know, how many hairdressers are back there? How do they work together?
So what happens is, I don't know if you're familiar with the show, but it's one of the, it's like an elimination challenge show.
Uh-huh.
So you start off the season and there's, I don't know, I'm going to say like 16 designers, and it's about designers, not about hair.
Right.
And then, you know, each challenge, somebody is eliminated. And so in the beginning of the season, we have our core team, which is usually about four of us. And then
so that
we
includes,
have a lot of,
that includes you and Lynn and two others.
Yeah. Some seasons we've had five, but normally it's four.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, in the beginning of the seasons, we have extra hands, people to come assist. And as the challenges go and we have less people, less models to work on, then our team, you know, narrows out to our core team. Because we working on TV, it's not like being in a salon. If you run a little overtime, you make a client late for their next whatever. It's not such a big deal. But in mm-hmm. TV, you're paying an entire cast and crew to be there. So you have to stay on time.
And what go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, so you have to stay on time. So you have to have, you know, in the beginning, we have more hands working on the models. And that's another thing, you know, I have people ask me, you know, about being on TV and in this kind of circumstance stamp. And, it's really important to get your chops, but you also have to be very, very quick and very open. You know, when I hear, people complaining about like that, you know, their appointment got messed up and they have 15 minutes left and they're not going to be able to do it. They spend all this time complaining.
Right.
Guess what? That was your time that you had to do to make it happen in TV. And we usually get about 20 minutes, sometimes 30, to turn a model around.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes if we have a special challenge, they may give us a little bit more time per model, but usually that is it. It's 20 to 30. Sometimes they tell you they're giving you more time and then they take it away.
Right. That's just the way TV works, right?
That's the way TV works. And we're talking about, you know, putting extensions in, straightening hair, curling hair. It could be anything because depending on what the designer is wanting, we have to make that happen for that particular designer.
Do you mind if we ask you a couple of questions from our Instagram followers?
No, not at all.
First question from Christina Skates. We'd love to hear more about the process. As a viewer, we see a quick collaboration and magic just seems to happen. Is that now, or is that how it really works?
Well, it is quick, probably not as quick as TV, but like I said, it is a 20 to 30 minutes, and that's what we have in the back room. And remember, we're sharing with makeup. So that's why the time frame is so small.
So whoa. It's 20 to 30 minutes with makeup?
Each side has 20 to 30 minutes, but that's okay. To put an entire look together for a model.
So it's 40 to 50 minutes between the you know, the hairdressers and the makeup artist?
Right.
Okay.
And then what happens is that we go backstage to film, and when we are backstage, a lot of times there's things that need to be tweaked, and that is when the Apple box becomes my best friend, because I have to have these girls are so tall. They're half the time they're sewn into their costumes. They're wearing heels, and I'm 5'2", you know,
right.
So I grab that Apple box and we have to make it happen before it hits the runway. I mean, if something is left undone, if something is, you know, not exactly the way that we want it to be, it has to happen in the, you know, in the dim lights of the backstage.
Right.
And no questions asked. You can't worry about what's happening or what's not happening. You just have to go into go mode and do it. And I love that. I mean, I just love that kind of energy. I know some people get very stressed out about it,
mm-hmm.
but to me, it's super exciting.
It's where Jackie shines.
It's like when you make it happen, you're like, man, I'm such a badass.
Ah.
And then, of course, the next thing happens and you're like, okay, maybe
I'm not so good anymore.
Yeah, because if something doesn't work out, guess what? you go from high to low really quick, but it's what makes it so exciting to me.
That's great.
Another question is from Katie and Kelly. When working on the show, is it more their vision, the show's vision you're creating, or do they give you an inspiration and you create off of that?
So it would be the designers that really are, because we are there to support their vision, and mm-hmm. they are the ones whose heads are on the chopping block.
Right.
And so that's something that's like, that is something that's on our back, I feel, as, you know, being on the team to make somebody's vision come to fruition is a huge thing to be left with. Sometimes they kind of have an idea. Some designers have a very strong point of view, and they know exactly what they want to uh-huh. the T. Some of them kind of are like, well, I'm thinking something like, you know, sort of like this, and they start throwing out, buzzwords. And Lynn actually is the one that usually talks to them as the lead hairdresser, and he kind of guides them into, at that point when they're like that, into different ideas and keeping it relevant and fresh, because you also don't want to do something that's dated. And, you know, a lot of times that's not their gig, so they don't know. Right. And sometimes when we actually start working with something and mm-hmm. the clothing comes on, their design comes on, we realize that it may not work as well as what their original vision was as well. So it's our kind of job to kind of let them know or make the call. But it's there. It is the designer's vision. I mean, we are there to support the designer.
Right.
That is awesome. Yeah. So all through that, what was the most challenging thing you faced or that you had to do in the fashion or TV world?
Well, so I was the cutting and styling artist for a show called Love Lester Run with Stacey London.
Oh, yeah, I totally remember that show.
Yeah, it was fun. And so she did another show called What Not to Wear that went on for many more seasons and many more people are familiar with. And it was a makeover show. And this show, it was a little different because it was a make-under show. So instead of having, like other shows that I've done as well in makeover world, where you have these fresh little canvases coming in and you can, you know, you're cutting hair off, you're putting color on and all this, you had people who were coming in, and these women had very strong color. They were personalities, mm-hmm. and we had to tone them down or make them look good or whatever, adding hair. So that is probably the most challenging, because we had there was a makeup artist, there was myself who was cutting and styling. I did all of the extension work, and then we had a colorist also, and Glennis Beale was for one of the seasons was on that. She's amazing. We had about 45 minutes each in each of our departments. So we had to, and I was the last person to touch the makeover because I was also styling them. So within that time, we got really good at working, you know, makeup was on the face as, you know, hair was going on and doing all that. Probably the craziest challenge that I ever had that we had on that show was we had a woman that had dreads. And Stacey was the one that gave everybody their looks. She told us what she wanted.
Right.
And the thing is, when you're working with producers and, you know, people that are outside of our industry, they have a vision, but they don't realize how much time sometimes these things take.
Right.
So we had this woman with a full head of dreads, and Stacey wanted us to take the dreads out and to lighten her hair and add extension.
Well, wait a sec. She wanted you to comb the dreadlocks out?
Yeah. Well, we'd have to we're going to cut first and comb. And then to cut the hair and then add extensions. Color the hair. So it was like all these things that we had the short time. So before we would get, you know, this a couple of days before, and so we asked for extra time. But even with the extra time, wasn't that much time. We asked for two extra set of hands, and hey, the way that I got that job was that the person that worked before was not keeping on time, and on TV, you know, you can't do that.
Right.
So I was asked to come in and do, you know, this job. So it was everything was at stake, including this job for me.
Oh my gosh.
And it was absolutely nuts because we just never stopped. I thought my knees were going to buckle at one point where we were trying to get the dreadlocks out.
How long were the dreadlocks? Crazy.
They were probably to like her waist.
Oh, whoa.
Something like that. Yeah.
To her waist. So,
where did you cut them up to?
We cut them probably above the shoulder, and then we started unraveling from there.
Right.
Because we were going to add extensions anyways.
Uh-huh.
But we needed hair, so it was crazy.
How long did it take you to comb the dreadlocks out? Sorry, Jack. I'm just like,
it's crazy, right? Because, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So it was 2 hours.
A couple
and there
of hairs
were four
left
of us.
After you finished.
No, and we didn't want that to be the case either. So we had one person on each quadrant of her head.
Oh my
there were
God.
Four of us on her head, and I mean, combing out with fine tooth comb. It was crazy. So that to me was probably the craziest thing that I've been asked to do. Oh. And of course, the producer the whole time is like, "Okay, how much more time? How much more time?" You're like, "Oh my God, really?" But you just gotta keep going because
you can't stop.
There's no option for anything else.
So how long did it take you to get them out?
2 hours. We got a little extra time that day. We asked for it, but it still wasn't that, you know, I think they gave us 2 more hours just to get the dreadlocks locked out.
So 2 hours was to get the dreads out, get the mm-hmm. extensions in, cut it, color it, and to get the makeup on? That was
No. We got 2 hours to get the dreadlocks off, and then our the same time frame for what we
So then you got another
did.
40 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my
gosh. But
we shared that
with the makeup, and you know, basically everybody was jumping in at the same time. It was really insane. And but we got it up and we got it in front. And it's so funny because, you know, this was the first season that I did this. At one point I started styling the hair after everything's in. We're like, okay, we just have to style now. And we need to, you know, I need to put an iron through it and we got to get her up front. You know, she still has to get dressed.
Right.
And as I was styling her hair in the back, she had this girl had so much hair. There was the bottom, sort of in the bottom of the nape, there was an area where the toner had not been. Oh, because we got the extensions on, and then we realized that the colors had to go back in to match her natural hair with the extension hair. And so she had to tone her. It was craziness.
Oh, no.
I mean, everything that you, but because of the time frame, and when I started drying the you know, woman's hair, there was like this little area where there was a little bit of toner still in because it was in the, it had been braided in.
Right.
And so we had to kind of spot, it was just everything crazy you can think of. But we did get help. And we got two extra pair of hands of you know,
two other hairdressers.
Two other hairdressers for the dreadlocks and for the extensions to make it all happen. Stacy's sister on.
Through the tube, everything looks like magic. Like before, after,
yeah.
Nobody knows exactly what you're going through.
I totally see the hairdressers laying on the floor with a bottle of some kind of alcohol, just making it through it while the show continues.
It was crazy when we were watching the reveal as it's being shot. We watch it from another room and we're in the back and I literally was sobbing and everybody thought that I was because I like tears of happiness, but I was just thinking of that one spot in the back. Luckily she had buckets of hair. And so, and it was on the bottom kind of in the back and stuff, but like, you just never know what's happening with that.
That's crazy.
But it was awesome, but. It was definitely crazy.
That's pretty cool. Was that your first TV job?
No. My first TV jobs were on more local, DC Latino, you know, on Univision, and then the others. So.
Well, I mean, you're an amazing, you know, just not only hairdresser, but just a person, because, you know, you not only are you doing all these things, but you make sure that, you know, you give back to the community as well, which is, you know, fascinating. And that's part of this podcast, is what it's all about, is to, you know, not only for us to interview people that we can give to our listeners, but we also love people who do give back, because we receive just as much as our listeners does.
Absolutely.
No, that's nice. Yeah, I think it's super important to give back. And mm-hmm. I know, you know, everybody says that and everything, but, you know, our time here on Earth is so short. We never really know. And look, if tomorrow or today I, you know, kick the bucket, I can honestly say that I have been so blessed to have worked with so many amazing individuals, and I've had so many cool and different opportunities that are Absolutely. Very unique. And I can't really complain. You know, I was asked one time, I was with a couple of hairdressing friends of mine, all colorists, and one of the girls said, hey, so, you know, I'm thinking I want to retire really young, and, you know, started asking us what we wanted to do in terms of retirement. When they asked me, there were three of us, I was like, mm-hmm. retire? What are you talking about? Wait a minute. Retire. I mean, it just, like, I had never even considered that, you know, I think that your career can change and evolve. Like, this whole thing that you guys are doing with the podcast is just sort of taking it into a different channel, but you're still in the same industry, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things that I love the most about the hair industry. There's so many ways you can go, depending on what kind of stylist you are and what your passion is.
So many great people in this industry.
That's true.
Absolutely. It's where you want to take it. And, you know, I think that that's one great thing that social media has done for our industry, is that I think that, you know, it's made it a very kind of household sort of thing. Whereas before, not to everybody, but some people saw hairdressing as like, oh, they couldn't hack it in, you know, college, or they couldn't do this, so they signed up for hair school.
Yeah.
And it isn't that. The people that stay in the industry, the people that are relevant, it's because of the passion that they have. It's just that, I mean, I feel like I have a monster. I've always felt like this ever since I was a little girl. I feel like I have a monster that I have to feed, and that is the creative monster. Right. And if you don't feed it, then something, I don't know what is going to happen, but it can't be good, because it's a monster, right? And the world, I can't imagine the world without art and beauty and all these wonderful things that we have. Music.
Absolutely.
You know.
It's I think it was Winston Churchill. Gosh, I hope I don't get this quote wrong. This is going to be embarrassing if I do. But I think it was Winston Churchill that said, without the arts, what are we fighting for? Right?
So, sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me, too.
I don't know if that was Winston Churchill, so I'm on the record saying that I'm not quoting him. But I like the quote.
I like the quote no matter who said it.
Yeah, no matter who said it. That's right.
For years, I quoted what I thought was Mark Twain, and it ended up being Muhammad Ali, and I can't think of two different
people. Wow.
It's a good quote, though.
What was the quote?
the quote was, get this.
It'll sting like a butterfly. Yeah, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Mark Twain.
Yeah. Tagging Mark Twain and shit.
No. Mark liked it. The quote was, which sounds way more Mark Twain-ish, was, if you think of the world at 50 as you did at 20, then you wasted 30 years of your life.
Wow.
Yeah, that was crazy. Ali. That was Ali, not Mark Twain.
That is crazy.
It sounds like Mark Twain, though, right? I'm the only one on this boat.
I don't know. I'm going to plead the fifth on that one. No. I love memes on social media. I love reading like the different quotes and who they come from.
Whoever it comes from, I'll mess it up.
Yeah, exactly. But just remembering, you know, the essence of, you know, of the quote, I think is important.
Yeah, forget who says it. What does it
say?
We have one last question for you.
Sure.
So growing up, what was your favorite, whom was your favorite superhero?
Growing up, well, I thought it was my mom. I thought my mom was a superhero. Let's see. I think that I loved Catwoman. I loved Catwoman because I had a crush on what was his name? Batboy? Batboy?
Robin?
Robin!
Batboy.
What is that? Jackie, slow down. Hold on. Are you talking about Batgirl or are you talking about Catwoman? Because Catwoman was a villain.
Okay, I think I was talking about Batgirl, right. But I do love Catwoman too.
Okay, so what was your favorite version of Catwoman?
Eartha Kitt.
Ooh. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, you mean back in the day, or are you talking about now?
No, just in general. There's been so many, right? There was
I think Eartha Kitt, she purred when she talked, like, anyways. Yeah, she was a badass.
She was a badass. Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best answer that we've gotten so far. Well, you know. Right. Hey, so, Jack, once again, thank you very much for doing the show. And, hopefully we'll be talking soon with you. Thanks again.
Awesome. Thank you again. Well, we love you so much.
Yeah, Jack.
Well, I love you guys so much. And I think you guys are doing an amazing thing and continued success. And I can't wait to hear everything you guys are bringing to us.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Again, I think Tony and I will give you an applaud and thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah. How about a standing ovation? No, I'm just kidding.
We're standing.
We are standing.
Okay.
All right, sweetheart. Talk to you later.
All right, Jack.
Okay.
Thanks again.
No problem.
Bye.
All right. Love you guys. Bye.
So there it is. We also want to give a special thanks to Sarah and Blaine from Pretty Gritty. Sarah and Blaine allowed us to use their music that runs under the podcast. It's called Pleased to Meet You, which I thought was only appropriate for our podcast. You can find Pretty Gritty's music on iTunes.
Dear, my name is, oh, I'm sorry, I just missed, but I'd love to take you out.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.